Thank you. I now have a prayer of gratitude to share with you. I thank you, Spirit of Life, for this day we share, for the deep earth wisdom that brought me into this community, a community that lives its joy through song and laughter, that lives its purpose with courage and commitment to the good works, a community that embraced me with hope and moved with enthusiasm. Thank you, Spirit of Life, for this day we share, for the choices we make every minute of every day, especially the brave choices to stay the path when it's hard, when we feel sad, and the destination is unknown. Thank you, Spirit of Life, for all of it. The rough patches and the sharp edges, the disappointments and the jealousies. Thank you for giving us the life experiences that help us to grow, that help us bit by bit to become wiser about ourselves and about the people who we live with. Thank you for this community of teachers. You have taught me what it means to be a minister. And although I failed so many times, you have been patient with me, you have forgiven me, and you have carried me when I was empty and in despair. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your lives with me. Thank you for trusting me. I love you. Mingxuan. Once upon a time is the way many stories begin. A time that actually really happened and that some of you were here for. I arrived on this very Sunday, 7 years ago, to begin our ministry here together at Beacon. I came straight up from Port Townsend, Washington, where the Sunday before I had completed my last service of my internship. Suitcase in hand, I walked into this hall. It was cavernous, only chairs and this table at the front and this pulpit, though I didn't use the pulpit that day. The children sat on the stage here with me and helped me unpack my bag. And they are now grown up, some of them in university, some of them now in high school. And there were others there that day that are no longer with us. David Hamilton, Berald Nunes, Ralph Greer, Sally Frith, Sandra Shaw, Anita Hagen. They are here with us today, in our memory and in our hearts. That service was called Endings and Beginnings, and today is an almost mirror service. I am here with my suitcase in hand to pack up all the experience and the beautiful and difficult moments and all the teaching that you have given me, and then to say goodbye. Ending and beginning. Time is a funny thing. We think it's linear, that it starts here and that it ends here and that it's a straight line between those two points. But this is not the only experience of time, as in this moment. The time before is now connected to the time now. The before and now it's intertwined, forming a loop of time, like the circle in the front of your order of service. We are connected through entwinement of the beginning and the ending of our time together. So into this moment, I want to begin by thanking all of you for the absolutely amazing celebratory service last week. Astonishing for me to be so fully seen and heard by you. The gift of this wooden bowl, from a bowl of a local tree that you even had pictures of, filled with your gifts of appreciation, was beautiful and really deeply meaningful. More, though, was connecting with each one of you as you came up the aisle and put your cards of thoughts of gratitude, of love, into the bowl. In those moments, we had eye contact, or we touched hands, or we hugged, and it was deeply, deeply moving to me, and I take all of that memory with me. There are moments I won't forget. They are entwined in that sacred hoop of beginnings and endings. And so I begin my suitcase packing by putting this bowl and all the experiences that it represents to take with me. I want to make a special thank you to the worship committee team that put that service together, to Janet and Susan and Sue and Heather, Nancy and Tyler. What an amazing piece of work you did. This small blue chalice represents that group of people. Last year, everyone on the team received a chalice from the chair, Janet Pivnik. It represented the work that they had been doing together, their thoughtfulness and their depth, and what it meant to work together as a team. A truly interdependent team that looks out for each other on Sunday mornings, covers for each other, picks up drop threads so that the service here is beautiful and seamless. So for all that work that we have done together over 7 years, that's 315 services, give or take, I take this chalice and I don't forget the matches. Another chalice. This chalice represents the small group ministries that we have done together. Call them soul to soul, soul matters, chalice circles. Those small groups were a highlight of my time with you, an important work we did in building trust as we learned to listen deeply to each other, to learn from each other. That listening, that non-judgmental, curious, open-hearted listening is the bedrock of this congregation. It is the foundation of a religious community. And all those educational programs that we did together, Building Your Own Theology, Spirit of Life, they each began with lighting the chalice. Donna Hamilton gave me this chalice many years ago, and I carried it with me from house to house, and we would light it at the beginning of a committee meeting or a small group. And then over the years, people began to acquire their own chalices, so I didn't have to bring it with me quite so often. So I'm glad that we have left a legacy together of these chalices in all your homes. I take with me your bravery to speak your truths together, your listening hearts, and your respectful curiosity. Now, what else do I take? I take my cloth bag with me, and it represents all the other changes that I have done in my life to live with less plastic. This is an initiative that was started years ago by Marilyn and Teresa and Terry, where they started the Climate Change Changes Me program that inspired me to then, a year and a bit ago, start the Living with Less Plastic initiative, where we all committed to look at our lives with a critical eye and to figure out how we could live with less plastic. This is important. For your commitment to living in a better world and making this world a better place, I take that with me. This pamphlet represents the Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation Guide program that Audrey Taylor, Janet Pivnik, and Tyler Vitti led 2 years ago. There is a great deal more learning to do, but I'm proud that we started it. And I've said that before, that reconciliation work is the number one work we have to do in this country right now. And it goes hand in hand with environmental work. Don't stop. You've only scratched the surface. We here are predominantly a white middle class group of people, part of the dominant culture. And too often we think that the world reflects us. Perhaps you have been blessed with being welcomed into another culture, a culture perhaps that sees the world differently, that has a worldview that sees community first rather than the collection of individuals, where you talk about we before you talk about I, where you make choices in your life to benefit the community first and it is not thought to be a sacrifice, where leadership is community responsibility, not personal ambition. This is a different worldview, one that you are straddling when you learn about indigenous culture and practices. In traditional indigenous culture, it is the land that is the primary relationship. Europeans who immigrated to Canada and into the cities have lost that. This consumer-driven society steers us away from the true and meaningful relationship with the land. Reconciliation work is a step back into and toward our primary relationship, which is with the land, and into right relationship with our indigenous people. Through the portal of reconciliation, or through the living into the seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of existence, we get to, for me, our most important theology. The interdependent web of existence allows us to embrace something greater, greater than ourselves. One can use many names. The ground of all being, spirit of life, the creative force, or God. This principle was added in 1985 at the General Assembly in Portland. We are a living tradition. It tells us how we can be in relationship with the earth, how to live in our bodies, and how to live in right relationship with all people. Interdependence, a great word. It's what I've spoken to you about many, many, many times. Inter meaning between or connected, and dependence, depending. The truth is we depend on each other for our physical, emotional, mental, spiritual health and well-being. We depend on others, we depend on the earth, we depend on our bodies. When you fully absorb that each one of us depends on others, not as a weakness, that's archaic thinking. Depends on now, depends on is how the universe functions. When you fully absorb that each one of us is part of this whole, and each one of us depends on others to be the connection points that allow that flow of life force to move, then in that exhale moment, if you inhale that, then in the exhale moment, you understand that everything and everyone depends on you. Breathe that in and breathe that out and lean your thoughts into it. We are interdependent. This is a truth that I want to leave you with. You are never, never disconnected from the source of life. You are never disconnected from the whole. We are never disconnected from each other. Time and space are not as real as our interdependence. And as I've said so many times, the places of connection in this great web of life where you and I meet, or you and you meet, is the moment when our choices matter. So in those moments when my life or another's life connects with yours and you connect with them, choose respect, choose curiosity, choose kindness. A spoon, a stirring the pot kind of spoon. This is my last opportunity to speak my truth from this place that you have honored me to stand in. Our third principle that we covenant to affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning that walks hand in hand with accepting one another and encouraging each other in our spiritual growth. Do it. Just do it. And for your criticism of people's beliefs that are different from your own, stop it. Making jokes about other religions, making jokes about Christianity in particular, is not respectful, and it's painful to me. Please stop doing it. Christianity is one of our sources, as is Judaism, paganism, and the other world religions. And for known reasons, it has become allowable in UU circles to laugh at or put down Christianity. Please, stop doing it. And arguing against the existence of God is your right. But your Unitarian Universalist responsibility is to affirm and promote the acceptance of one another and the encouragement to spiritual growth. That's your responsibility. It has been my experience here that you have lost good people, young and elder, who have been searching, seeking something, intelligent people, people who could have found their spiritual home here. But because some of you haven't been accepting and nor encouraging all paths to spiritual growth, we have lost them. Please search your own behavior and your own thoughts and root out the need to be right. Talk about it bravely and openly with your next minister. In this multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious, interdependent world, there's really no time left for those who cling to being right and needing everyone else to think and believe like them. It doesn't fit in the UU world, and it doesn't fit in this Beacon world. Remember, when you meet another, choose respect, choose curiosity, and choose kindness. Okay, I'm packing up the spoon that I've used to stir the pot. I'll take it with me and continue to use it. Oh, right. I'm packing up Aussie. I understand there's been some concern and debate of whether or not I was allowed to take him with me, but he belongs to me. I'm also packing up all the memories of all the playful and joyful times that we've had together. The joyful singing and the endlessly delicious potlucks, the dancing in the aisles, the belly laughs. I'm taking all of these moments of joy with me. Yeah, rat's going too, as is bear. And finally, the last thing, thank you, I'll take that too. And finally, the last thing I'm taking is this gorgeous rose quartz heart that you gave me last week that went around the circle and each person put their prayers, their blessings, their wishes, their intentions in it for me. Thank you for that. I take all of that with me. And I take with me your hearts. And I will probably leave a little bit of mine behind. They're all in the bowl. They're all in the bowl. And now, because it's summer, and because I get to make the last choice of the last song we sing, and because this is the song that is the last one in the book, and it'll get us going, we are going to sing "Turn the World Around." Susan, let's get this one going.